Amen. Well, Father, we just praise you. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you have manifested in our prayers. And we praise you, Father, for all of that. And I believe, Lord, that this is just the start of some bringing you out of the box to declare and to decree the things that you want us to by the Spirit and to watch them come to pass. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, that our prayer life has changed dramatically to one of bold faith. And I praise you for that, Father, that we don't disbelieve anything that we pray. And we don't have doubt and unbelief in our vocabulary as we pray, because we receive, we ask, and we receive, and we act on that reception. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing all of the things that you said in your word, your wonderful word that gave us the promises and gave us the outline of how you want us to look, act, talk, and feel, Lord. And I praise you for doing that for all of us, because I know there's a powerful awakening coming up, and you're going to need your disciples to help bring this revival about and bring people into the kingdom and teach them how to be like Jesus. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you for everything that we're going to do tonight, Lord, is led by you. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, because you're worthy of everything that we praise you with, Lord. We can't praise you enough. And I praise you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished this evening in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, Leo. All right. How about a testimony? How about a praise report? All right. Go ahead, Theo. Okay, Missy, I'll get you in a minute.
Yes, I have a praise report. I am an avid fisherman slash hunter slash outdoors, whatever, gets me outside. Love it. And we bought this freezer and we said, we got to fill it up with meat. So went deer hunting for a while and, read up on all the regulations, found out which unit we're in, which is Unit D. And the season goes to January 8th. You're allowed to shoot four deer and whatnot. And a couple of us would go out to this area and hunt because it's public property based on this app we found on Onyx. You pay for it. It's like $30 a year. And it shows you the private land, shows you the public land, shows you everything. And so I got a deer. I shot a doe. And it was probably 25 pounds of meat at the end. It wasn't very big. It's pretty small. And I said, thank you, Lord. We got some
Amen.
meat in the freezer. And New Year's Eve, December 31st, I get a knock on the door in the morning. I come out there barefoot, and it's a sergeant, and he's got his conservation truck in my driveway. And he said, you Fyodor? I'm like, yep. It's like, we need to talk. So I spent about 30 minutes talking to him, explaining why I shot this deer in a protected area that is a refuge for does, where you can't ever shoot a doe there the entire year. And basically, I
Oh,
poached
my.
this doe in a restricted area where there's no season. I didn't have the right license to hunt there, and I was just like, "Are you?" Like, how? Like, this is crazy. I read up the regulations. I went to Bass Pro, bought the license, did everything to my knowledge, 100% legal, accurate, and I still end up bagging this deer. it's going to cost me thousands of dollars. You know, like it came out to be like $100 or $200 a pound, basically, for this little doe. And so we talked for probably at least 30 minutes or more. He's like, yeah, well, I got the ticket wrote up and a couple of warnings for you. He's like, you won't have to go to court if you just pay it. And I was like, man, I can't get this, you know, couple $1,000 ticket that I have to pay off. I was like, nobody has that kind of cash just laying around to pay conservation tickets. Anyway, so what happened was we found the regulations for this unit, but apparently the area we were in where I reported this deer is a special wildlife management area. And it doesn't say that anywhere on the regulation. You have to like dig deep to where it's not, you're not going to find this. Like even the license that you needed to hunt there in that spot, you couldn't find it either, you know? And the people at Bass Pro, I told them, hey, it's going to be public land. I'm going to hunt for this deer, you know? And okay, here's the license, big game license. Here you go. You get 4 tags and you pay for everything and you're good to go. Anyway, so long story short, I guess. He's like, well, go ahead, go stand over there. I'm going to go sit in my truck and we'll see what we can do here. And he goes back to his truck and I'm just standing there. Lana's in the house praying because she's like, I'm going to get arrested and go to jail. You know how it is. And so he comes out with a sheet of paper and he says, this is a warning. You know, and he just kind of paused, like looking at me kind of. I don't know. He just had that look on his face. He said, this is a warning. He's like, you know, mistakes happen and, you know, just be careful out there and make sure you know what the regulations are. And I was just like, I shot the deer. I told him I shot it. I was like, I didn't lie. I tagged it right where I shot it, which is how he knew. The system flagged me because where I tagged it, the coordinates came in from the GPS locator on my phone. And that red flagged the system saying that I tagged it in a bad spot. So yeah, he let me off with a warning. And it's just amazing because if anyone's ever dealt with conservation agents, they're the worst. I mean, they'll take you to the cleaners almost every time. But God, right?
Yeah.
But God, and he didn't take the deer. He didn't take my truck. Didn't take my gun. Didn't write me a ticket. I was floored. I was like, praise you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
That would have been a nice New Year's present.
Well, that was. It turned out to be, didn't it? Praise God.
So,
thank you, Father.
Tennessee's a tough one. Yeah. Supposedly it's all cut and dry, but nope.
But God, like he said.
But God, yep. Praise the Lord. So
that's awesome.
I'm very thankful.
Thank you, Father. Glory, yep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go ahead, Missy.
Theo, you should have heard Isaac's testimony. I think it was Saturday. It's too bad it wasn't recorded. You have to have him tell you that story sometime. He actually should. We told him he should write it up because it's
here?
Such an awesome.
He's here.
Story.
He can say it now and get it recorded.
It's so cool. But anyway, I just wanted to say this little testimony. On my way down here today, my left knee, like my kneecap, was like starting to hurt and it was like sore and I'm like, what's with this? And I just rebuked it and I commanded it to go and thanked the Lord and you know, didn't pay a whole lot of mind. And later I noticed, oh, it's not sore anymore. It's just like, geez, it was just you know, my knee never hurt like that before, you know, like my kneecap. And it was just like, thank you, Lord, for a quick defeat of the enemy is what it was. He's already defeated, but a quick battle won. So anyway, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lord. But Isaac's still at work, huh? It's just Mariana. Okay, anybody else? Mark's been a quiet month. Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
It's something that's just kind of like dawned upon me these past couple of 2 weeks because of the holidays and all that, but because of like Christmas and like New Year's and all that, I would have to be weak to the weak. But when does it get to a point when you're being too weak and you need to like just outright be like, no, like, that's not right.
Run that by again.
So, like, when would it be inappropriate to be, like, I was being weak to the weak during the holidays, and when would it be too weak? To the point where it's sort of hindering me, or like, because that there were some points where I was just like, I should say something or I shouldn't do something, but I couldn't decipher.
Yeah, with that gum in your mouth.
What's up, Mariana?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, boys have gum in their mouth and they're doing summer.
Okay. Well, Ben, when you are in a situation like that, just rest in the Lord. Don't worry about it, because we can, our mind can go silly with it if we sit there and let, I shouldn't be here. Were you having a good time with your family?
Of course I was.
Yeah. That's what matters the most, that they understand, they see the light that you have. Yeah, that when it becomes that you're, do they know how you stand?
They know that I'm not a huge fan of Christmas.
Yeah, that's good. And then they know that. And that's fine. And when you pray at the meal time, pray the good prayer. No, listen, these times of year, holiday times and stuff, Thanksgiving, birthdays, all of those kinds of times, you're weak to the weak because your family doesn't have a clue about what's good and what's not good. You can do one of two things. You can either go or not go. Whatever your conscience is, you know. I wasn't at my family's this year, not because I didn't want to go. I'd like to be around my family, but I had other things that were more important to me at the time. So I've been home for Christmas. Matter of fact, last year I went home for Christmas and spent the holidays with them. They know my position. And so I don't have to reiterate every time, you know, I just go out and have a good time with my grandkids and my kids. Anybody else got any thoughts on that? Yeah, Theo or Lana?
I was going to share a testimony, but thoughts for Ben. Something that came to mind is, I mean, if being weak to the weak is going to make a sin, then that's a warning sign. But otherwise, yeah. I agree. You just rest.
Yeah. If your conscience bothers you too much, you know, that's what you do. You get up and you say, well, I got to go. Da, da, da. But whatever it is. Yeah. Let's see. I hope that helps you a little bit, Ben. When you're weak to the weak, that's exactly what you're doing. You're being weak to the weak. You're foregoing your knowledge of what it represents for their happiness at the time. It gives you an opportunity at times. Sure, you had opportunities at time to explain to them your feelings on portions of it. And if you get that chance, that's what I'll do. I'll do when I get the chance. Well, let me tell you what this represents. And you can share it and let them know. But don't take it to the point to where you're arguing with them. That's what you want to do. You don't want to do is create a hostile environment. What is that? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, meekness, self-control, all the fruits, humility. That's a good one. That's a big one. Okay, Lana, go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to share a testimony of this weekend. On Friday, I asked the sisters to pray for me as we prepared to make a trip to North Carolina to see Theo's brother. And I really wanted to be walking with the Lord when I faced his wife, because I had come under attack from her in the past. And so it really had me a little nervous about, you know, facing her again. And the Lord was good. He was so graceful. During the sisters' prayer meeting, he revealed to me that I was struggling with rejection from that side of the family, and he delivered me of that. And during our drive there, other things came to mind that I prayed about, and the Lord took away fears and doubts as well. And I just arrived there completely free of any hindrances. And the Lord, this is a household where you cannot assert your opinion. You will be fought in order to either bring you into submission to their opinions, or you just keep your mouth shut. And the Lord just reminded me that just like David teaches that we are not to attend churches in order to change or bring division into the church because we disagree, but it's up to us to lead. And so I realize it's the same when you go to somebody else's house. You're not there to divide them or to, you know, convince them of your opinion. You're there to be the light of Christ. And I have no doubts that there were very many moments that they realized that Lana and Theo are not here to bring any sort of excitement or challenges into their lives. And things are going pretty good. There was a few times where his wife, I mean, if you give her the room and the space and the air, she will she'll fill your head with all kinds of liberal opinions. And I would just nod and smile and try to kind of give her a kind of a passive answer, which is a no-go either, because she'll attack that too. But anyways, the Lord gave me grace to kind of try to diffuse these and walk away from one conversation, another conversation. And then the enemy tried me, and she attacked sourdough. This is funny to say, but many of you know I've been baking sourdough bread for a few years now, and back in Missouri, I had sold it to the local community. And I mean, I made good sourdough bread. That's all that is.
Yes, you do.
And all glory to God. It was such a pleasure to do. And I'm glad I don't have the burden of making so much bread anymore. I enjoy the bread that I do make. But I happened to be discussing sourdough with Theo's sister, who had come with us to Theo's brother's house. So there's three families involved here. And his wife jumps in and she's like, she basically says, I don't understand sourdough. I hate sourdough. Oh, and I don't eat bread, but I hate sourdough. And I'm just like, what is this? Like logically, you just want to, you know, you just want to roll your eyes at her and just be like, what are you talking about? You know, you're just attacking me out of the blue. But I knew immediately that it was demonic. And so I just kind of zipped my lip and waited for her to chill out, and we dropped to another topic. But of the entire weekend, the enemy found like this soft spot and got her to express some really, really strong emotions towards sourdough. And I was just like, boy, she has no idea that this is a soft spot, but yet I knew it was demonic. And so I had to eventually come to a point where I needed to repent of unforgiveness because it had stunk so bad. Because I couldn't help but take it personally, but it's no longer a problem. So anyways, we left on a good note. I'm sure she's oblivious of, you know, the things we've experienced. And I've been praying to the Lord, Lord, if there's anything remaining between me and her, I need you to clean this up. I don't want to be walking in any sort of sin in relation to her. And the Lord finally brought that to a close today. I kept getting railing thoughts and I couldn't cast them down. I was like, what is going on? And I took it to Theo. And, after, kind of a hard conversation, he looked at me and he said, I think you still have unforgiveness toward her. And I looked at him and I said, I can't imagine why. And the Lord, you know, I've done everything in my power to, I was like, I can't imagine over what, right? Nothing would come to mind. And the Lord reminded me, you start praying and I'll bring it to your mind. And so I obeyed the Lord because he's done that to me before. And he brought it to my mind that I couldn't forgive her for who she was, for the cruelty that she displays, for her lack of sincerity, for her lack of mercy and grace, and the product that she has become because of her parents, I've learned. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you've given me so much revelation about the bondages she's in that she can't help who she is. She's just a product of this world and of her upbringing. And I understand this, and yet I don't have the grace to not hold her responsible. And so I confess this to the Lord. And, you know, how many of us think that we are unforgiving toward a person because of who they simply are? Because I know that I can't be who I am today but God. And so I poured out my heart to the Lord and I confess that. And I've had so much peace and deliverance since then that there has been other changes in my household that have allowed me to understand that the Lord has been closing a lot of open doors in my life. And this was a big one. It was to the point that there was so much peace that the peace and the order of the Lord and the joy of the Lord was coming through my children. I took them grocery shopping today and I came home and I was on the verge of tears. I said to my husband, I said, babe, I have never seen our boys this well behaved. These are the type of children I want to have every day. And I said, Lord, whatever I did right today, please don't let me stop. I'm telling you, the Theo picked up something in the store and said, Mommy, can I have this? And I said, no. And he said, okay, Mommy. I bought them, without them asking, a bag of gummy worms, a little snack pack. And they took a couple pieces each, ate them, and did not ask for more. Like, what child does this, right? And I'm telling you, I came home, I was on the verge of tears. I said, babe, these boys are angels. Can I have them every day? And I understood that when the parents are in line and our hearts are truly clean and delivered before the Lord, he will permeate his grace, his mercy, his love, forgiveness to every extension of our lives, including our kids. And I'm on cloud 7, 9, 10, 12, you name it. I am so grateful to the Lord. And thank you, Lord. My boys are in your hands. They are at peace. And this will continue to be so in our family.
Amen. Yeah, that is awesome, Lana. You got to share that side. Yeah.
Share that with what?
You got to share that Saturday.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, Vanita.
Yeah, wow, what a great testimony. Praise the Lord, Lana. That's wonderful. I just wanted to go back to what Ben was saying, and you know, that's kind of how I was feeling. It's like, what does it mean to not keep Christmas when Christmas is all around you and everybody's, you know, the whole family is so excited about it, and you know, you state kind of very gently where you stand on it and what you're learning about it. And they just don't accept it. And they're just, you know, even more gung-ho about Christmas than they were before. And so you just have to, you know, I guess it was just for me, it was just in my spirit. I just had to know that the Lord knew where I stood, even though I had to almost like act like I didn't in so many situations. You know, everybody coming to me and, oh, come over for Christmas or Merry Christmas or this. And I just had to say it back because I knew that they couldn't, they wouldn't understand where I was coming from. And they just couldn't have understood any of what I was going to say to them. And so if the opportunity just didn't come up, I just didn't bring it up because it wouldn't have made sense then. So I just really, you know, learned to just, and I should have done it more than I did. I'm learning, like, I needed to keep my mouth shut even more than I did because I was stepping out when I shouldn't have and speaking when I shouldn't have to people that really weren't able to accept it. So it's a hard line. It's hard to figure out, do I say it or not? Or, you know, I want everybody to know where I stand, but I don't know. That's kind of how I was going through it. But I just, I also just wanted to share, Greg Moser had a dream that he shared. And I don't know, Michael, I just, when I was talking to the ladies on Friday, they had given me a good interpretation of it. And it was just right on the nose. And I just thought that was so amazing because, you know, I've never had anybody had a dream about me before, but when he did have a dream, it was just like exactly what was going on in my life. And I didn't see it until I talked to the ladies on Friday. But what it was, the dream was he had a dream that I was down at UBM, just fellowshipping with everybody, and him and I were talking and catching up on stuff. And as we were talking, these three people came, like authority figures came to take me away, and they were going to take me back home. And I didn't, the way Greg put it, I didn't appear like I was ready to go home. We were still fellowshipping. And so Greg and I'm just kind of summarizing what his dream was, but Greg and some of the other people at UBM were trying to convince them to let me stay so we could say our goodbyes at least properly. And they were just trying to help me get out of having to go home. And in the dream, Greg said it was like Homeland Security or some authorities that were coming to take me. And they were being very forceful about it. And eventually they relented and they left, and I got to stay longer and fellowship some more with everybody. And so I, you know, after I read the dream, I'm like, what could that mean? What could that mean? And then, you know, when I shared it with everybody on Friday morning, Julie said the first thing that came to her was that the three people that came to get me, you know, were my family, you know, my son, my daughter, and my husband. And, you know, I'm coming out of so many things now, like, you know, Christmas and, you know, different holidays and just even just movies that I used to watch and things that I was interested in that I don't do anymore. And they don't want me to leave. They want to take me back home the way that I used to be with them, the way that they're familiar with me their whole life. And they wanted me back home with them rather than where I'm going now. And I was like, you know, that was exactly it. Cause just recently my daughter had said, you know, let's watch this movie or that movie. And I'm like, well, you know, and I kind of am hot about it cause I'm not really doing that anymore. And you know, she was kind of upset. She's like, oh, Mom, you don't do anything anymore. And you don't, you know, do Christmas and you don't want to do this and that. And so they were just trying to draw me back. And that was exactly, and then Marilyn said, you know, the word Homeland Security just kind of sealed the deal because it was like they were trying to bring me back home. And that was part of the dream too, the Homeland Security. So that was really neat. So I think it was a good dream for me. So yeah. Just hit it right on the head. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. That's awesome. Yeah, Ben.
Well, I'll give an example of what happened during the holidays. and being weak. And I wasn't sure if I was being weak or whatever. My brother-in-law, Zach, was over. And he grew up in like a Christian household. So he knows about like the Bible, at least. I don't know what his level of knowledge is. The topic of Revelations came up, like the book of Revelations. And he said, I don't subscribe to wanting to know that, to know anything about that. And I said, like, that just kind of like really like shocked me. I was like, in my head, I was like, well, God wouldn't give you a piece of information that he wouldn't want you to know. Right. And it's just like he said it so ignorantly, and it kind of like irked me a little bit, kind of got me a little like angry. And I've repented of that anger, because I understand he's in his own journey and I have faith for him. But a verse came to my head. It was Philippians 2:12. I'm paraphrasing it. It's look for your own salvation, or look into your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so he doesn't have that fear of God. And I read Proverbs 2 yesterday, because it was the second day of the month, and it talked a lot about the fear of the Lord and how it's the beginning of understanding. And it's just, anyways, that's a testimony I have. And is that not saying anything at that point? Is that still being weak to the weak? Because my dad has told me, if it comes to end time prophecy, and if someone's that weak, try and stay out of trying to coerce them into thinking about it. I don't know. I discerned that I shouldn't say anything at that point, because my mom was there, my grandmother was there, my sister was there. So I kept my mouth shut. So I was being weak. Is that too weak, or?
No. Oh, okay. He didn't want to talk about it. So that's probably the best thing to do.
All right. Glory to God. Oh, I have another testimony. Karen and I are now a thing. We're kind of a, like, she's my girlfriend now. That's not the testimony, but
oh man.
That's, well, part one to the testimony. Okay. I've been, every once in a while I go to a church that she goes to. It's a Pentecostal church, and they believed in healings, they believed in tongues. And most of the time I was there, it was a good word. So I was comfortable with going every once in a while. And then the main head pastor is on holidays, so he didn't preach, but a woman preached. And then I noticed she started speaking, and then instantly I was uncomfortable with the situation. I was just like, what do I do? Do I storm out? Do I take Karen with me? Like, what do I do? And she could tell. She's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know? And I'm like, oh no, she doesn't know. And I'm just like, it's okay, I'll tell you after. But she could tell. She's like, you want to leave? Like, let's, like, do you want to leave? And I said, yeah, I want to go. And then I had to explain it to her. And then she took it very surprisingly well. And, you know, I showed her the scripture verses. And I told her, like, you know, we're kind of just like starting, but like, it really talks a lot about relationships and like women in the church and the Bible. And I showed her all the scripture verses, and then we talked about it for like hours. And then she's just like, you know, I had this example with my dad and my mom growing up, and I knew about these scripture verses, but now it's kind of just like, I'm in this situation, you know? So it's kind of like, she's just like, oh my gosh, like I never really thought of me in the position as the wife, you know, because like we're kind of like practice wife and husband right now. I'm not throwing anything out there. Dad, don't get your hopes up. But
he can see kids in the frying pan.
But it just kind of like hit her like a wall, like, oh, this is happening to me now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I thought we were going to get into like some sort of argument, but she took it with grace and I give all that glory to God.
Amen. Yeah. Well, praise God, you have the knowledge of the word to show her.
Yes.
What the scripture said. That's awesome.
That couple of weeks where we just studied that book, it really helped out a lot. And she's just like, Ben, you got to be patient with me because this is still like kind of new to me. And I'm like, I have nothing but patience in this topic because I know it's a big one.
Yeah, it is. Amen.
That's anyways, awesome. Thank you very much.
That's awesome, Ben. Go ahead, Patrick.
No, I was, that's exciting. I was just going to say or make a comment about, people are, not convinced by, a good logical argument, but for the most part, they're not convinced by a good logical argument, even bantering back the scriptures back and forth, if their heart is not into receiving, not willing to receive. It's like, you know, the Lord said that we are saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by truth. Truth is obviously, you know, you have to put that in perspective. What I'm saying is that the truth is obviously essential to a clear understanding and being able to apply our heart to faith regarding that truth, but truth in and of itself or specifics or logic only reaches the mind. And it's kind of one of those things that if you've ever sat through debates, you know, like even presidential debates, of course they're a canned proceeding now, but debates between two people, they do not really convince anybody as in the party of the debaters, because they're just simply bantering back the best logic and the best information to make the other party look weak or look bad or anything. But even at the end of that debate or argument, nobody's heart has changed. The person on the one side always thinks they're still right, and the person on the other side knows that they're right as well. So that's, I think that's why I feel like the Lord is not as concerned with these details of, you know, these specific details that we tend to get locked into, but he's more concerned with our activity or our actions producing a heart reaction out of people, or even a heart reaction within ourselves to create repentance within ourselves. And that, that change of heart that people see within us or within others that respond to his word is the attractive thing I believe that brings people, it convinces people to be willing to accept certain truths. So it's kind of a heart before the mind, excuse me, situation. So, and I guess maybe over the years, being in the business that I am in, on a superintendent level, I'm really dealing with a lot of people and a lot of mindsets and a lot of attitudes, always a lot of attitudes. And through that time, I think the Lord has kind of trained me to accept people the way they are. And because everybody's got an axe to grind, it seems, and everybody's got a point and a perspective, but just to let them be who they are and wait for the opportunity to express something that, you know, in an open moment or whatever. But, you know, I mean, when early on in my Christian life, I used to take the specifics of the scripture and the truths that God was showing me and kind of pull them bad boys out and whittle my opposition down to, you know, but nobody was ever convinced by that type of activity. But I've noticed over the years is when the Lord shows me something and touches my heart, and I'm able to express that and share that, that it's more likely to be accepted and to be, to be useful in the Lord's hands to allow people to think about certain things or whatever. But it's only, I know it's only when I'm willing to be vulnerable and weak or appear weak or express my, you know, myself, that I actually open my heart up for others to, you know, consider themselves and be able to ponder things in their own life. But I guess the Lord's really been showing me here lately that people are not saved by truth. They're saved by grace, by God's influencing their heart to by faith receive him or receive his word. So I think that was, you know, that's all I wanted to say. Anyway.
That's good. Thank you, Pat. Anybody else? I got one question. Did anybody help? What big spiritual thing happened to you over the holidays? Was there a change? Was there a blip up or a blip down? What? Yeah, Julie.
I spent some real good quality time with the Lord over the holidays. I didn't have any family obligations. Didn't have any holiday stuff I had to be in with. I didn't even talk to my family. It was all through text messages, and it was just very gentle. It was kind of nice. So God was really gracious about that. But I was really able to spend more quality time just reading and on the Word. prayed, and I prayed in tongues a lot lately, which I hadn't been doing it as much. I've had a lot of oppression, a lot of stuff, a lot of fiery trials, and a lot of things I've been dealing with. But just praying as much in the spirit, able to do that more, and I feel a lot, like a lot has lifted, and maybe even, you know, some breakthrough. I'm hoping, God, so, you know, praise but God. You know, this long trials, there's just been a lot of stuff, a lot of enemy attacks. So praying in the spirit, I made myself do it. I made myself pray and cast down the distractions. I'm like, Lord, you have to help me do this. Because as soon as you set your mind to want to read the word, listen to a Bible study, pray in the spirit, pray and intercede, whatever it is, you know. So I was able to do more of that. So that was really good. It was really good. I had some good quality sister time with a couple of my sisters here and there. And so that was good. Needed that too. Had some really good physical, real rain fell down here for the last week or so. And got more on the way, it looks like. So I'm excited about that too. And just, of course, praying for the latter rain and anointing and all that too, that, you know, God's. So anyhow, so yeah, it's been good.
Amen.
Good times with the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay.
You know, New Year's Eve, we were, you know, on here fellowshipping, and you ask about, you know, miracles that God's done in our lives. And, you know, we talked about a few things, but, and then after we got off, I prayed, had some really good prayer time with the Lord. I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, what do you want me to pray about? And he says, well, just pray in tongues for the ones that I want to bring in next year. So I did that, and it was good. But about 1:30 in the morning, the Lord woke me up. And he just started reminding me of all the things he had done, all the miracles that he has done for myself through my life. And since I've been married to Barry, and I was just amazed. It was like, you know, why didn't I remember all this stuff? I've got so many great testimonies of things that the Lord has done. And then the next morning when, my beloved always wakes me up with a cup of coffee in the morning. We sit in bed, drink our coffee and fellowship and have a good time. And I was telling him about that. And then we just start talking about all these other things that the Lord has done for us throughout our lives. The times he saved us, the times, you know, physically saved our lives. It's been a number of occasions for both of us. And on several of those occasions, we've been together, but, and, you know, just miraculous healings of ourselves and our pets and provisions. And, anyway, it was a great way to, end out the, you know, the end of 2022 and a great way to start 2023. And I'm just encouraged. It doesn't matter some of the things that we're going through. You know, Father just keeps telling me, hold fast the confession of your faith. I'm faithful to promise. And just believing that, you know, all of his promises are yay and amen. And I'm just really believing that we're going to, he hears our prayers for this great end time harvest. And he's getting hearts prepared, and he's getting us ready. So praise the Lord.
God is good. Lord of God. That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you, I'll do mine now. I'm kind of like Julie. I did a lot of walking. I love to walk and pray. And I did a lot of that over the holidays. walk and pray in the spirit. And actually did some other things with the spirit also that I'll be able to relate at some point in time. It was really awesome. And that's what happens. We talked a little bit about this last week, praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. You remember I told you that that Lake had said that speaking in tongues was the, how'd that go? Anyway, tongues was the essence of his ministry. And by that, he meant he prayed in tongues a lot. He said, I believe that praying in tongues ought to be loud, long. That's what he said. I believe it ought to be loud and long. He did a lot. And Paul, if you remember, he said, I pray in tongues more than you all. And the reason he said that, he had a lot of spiritual revelations from the Lord, and he got them through the Spirit and through the speaking of tongues. And that's, we talked about a little bit about last week. That's the gateway to the Spirit, is praying in tongues. That's also a gateway to divine health, because you are edifying yourself. You're building your faith up. And when you do that, you'll come to a point in time, I'm understanding this, you'll come to a point in time where you'll have complete divine health. In other words, you don't worry about where you're going, what you're doing, because of this disease or that disease, because you know you're walking in divine health. And it's all in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. It says that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. What's the gift of God that's in you? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And that gift you stir up is the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you don't stir up the Holy Spirit. It's you that has to be stirred up to the Holy Spirit. And you do that by speaking in tongues. And the gift that you stir up is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That means to bring it to fruition and rekindle that flame that you have at times when you're in the Spirit. How many of you felt the Lord a lot when you pray in tongues for a while? You know, I knew early on in my walk, soon as I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I spoke in tongues for 4 hours. I mean, I was on heaven the whole time. I said, there's something to that. But I didn't ever know what it was until I got into Summer Lake stuff. And Lake would go out and pray in the Spirit, come back, get his notebook out, and ask the Lord for interpretation, and that'd be his outline for a sermon that night. And that's just the way he walked. What we all ought to be doing is to get into that Spirit realm where the gifts of the Spirit are evident in our lives when we need them, when that time allowed. Now, let me tell you this. There was a study done with a number of gentlemen that what happened to them when they spoke in tongues, or when a Muslim prayed, or a Hindu guy prayed, or whatever. But the Christian prayed in the Spirit. And all of them but one, which was the Christian, when they prayed, it was all it was in one section of the brain, part of the flesh brain. The guy that spoke in tongues was completely away from that area. In other words, it was his spirit that was speaking. And they found out this, that when a person is dying, when they die, the spirit, that portion that was speaking in tongues leaves almost immediately. But the rest of the brain stays alive for a while. That's just new stuff. What happens when you die? Your spirit goes, right? Your spirit goes. So this is some of the stuff that I've been researching and looking into. And it's been exciting to me. Lake Wotawson talked about praying in the spirit and the Lord talking to you. And he often talked about the gifts of the spirit, word of knowledge coming alive in him while speaking in the spirit, praying in the spirit. You get words of knowledge. I've had that happen myself. It's been a while, but I've had that happen. And what happens, as I'm told, is that you build up your spiritual man to a point to where you can help people when you need to. When you come upon an emergency, somebody is dying out there. You can't say, well, wait a minute, I need to go to my prayer closet and get, you know, tuned up for all of this and pray and do all that stuff. No, you'll be ready because you've been praying in the spirit. As you pray in the spirit every day, you build up like a battery. Lake called it a dynamo. He said that when you pray in the spirit, it works like a dynamo. You know what a dynamo is? It's like an old telephone that cranked up. That's a generator. And what it would do, it would take that power from that generator and store it in a battery. He said, that's the way it is with when you're praying in the spirit. You store it in you, in your spirit. And when the time comes, you have the power available to you to help whoever it is that you need to help. That's amazing. And the reason I wanted to talk about this a little bit tonight, I want to encourage everyone, because you're going to need it. We all are going to need this spiritual building up in order to meet the times that are ahead of us. I've got to see what y'all are laughing about. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she could. Yeah.
You show him, Dad.
What did he do?
Well, I didn't know what a dynamo was, and then I went and got my flashlight to wind it up.
That's what it is.
And you get some light.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You got the power available to you when you need it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, sometimes you'll just grab this, and you didn't wind it, and it's really low. So just a couple of winds, and we'll get you going.
Yeah. Well, amen. Amen. Yeah. That's a good parallel to what the Lord wants us to do, to build up our, you can add to, as you do it every day, like said, you could do it for 30 minutes and, you build up 30% immune system, build up your immune system by 30%. So if you did it for 90 minutes, you've got 100% immune system. Or if you do it for 2 hours, you've got a little bit over, you know, and you'll be completely ready to handle any situation that comes up, because you know you've been in the closet. Yeah, Ben.
So my dad and I talk a lot about have been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, because that was sort of a topic that we were all talking about. And then he would always tell me, like, Ben, you got to pray to be refilled with the Holy Spirit sometimes if you're feeling just low in spirit. So would tongues be the best way to refill yourself with it? Because I pray to God, you know, refill me with the Holy Spirit. And I pray for tongues, and, you know, I have it. It just hasn't manifested yet. But I guess that's just my question. If that's the best way to refill yourself with the Holy Spirit, is to pray in tongues.
Yep. Yes, oh, okay. It is, because it says it edifies you and that builds you up. The Holy Spirit's already filled you. You know, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got all you need right there. It's us that has to rekindle that spirit by speaking in tongues, by praying in tongues, by doing the things that God wants us to do in that respect. That's how you stir up the gifts in you. It's through the Spirit. That's how you act in the Spirit too. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you're in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh anymore. You're in the Spirit. You're praying in the Spirit. You're there's three types of praying in the Spirit. There's self-edification, there's intercessory, and there's travailings. Self-edification is for yourself to build you up in your spiritual. Intercession is to pray for other people. Okay. And travailing is groanings to bring people for revival or somebody into the kingdom. When you travail, that comes from your belly. Comes from your belly. Your groanings. That's, if you read about Father Nash, it was, Finney's prayer warning. He did that a lot. But he did that he was very successful in his prayers. Yeah, Julie.
When it talks about groaning in the Spirit and travailing in the Spirit, and because you're speaking things you don't know how to pray about, because sometimes it's not anything you can make yourself do. It's something that the Holy Spirit for you. But I've had that happen to me a few times, and sometimes it was because I was going through myself. You know, just a lot of spiritual, emotional, whatever stuff, and just not knowing how to pray, and just coming to the end of myself about something, and it's like, I just don't know how else to do it or take over kind of thing. Have you that experience where you just, you know, you're just grieved over
Everything that we do in the spiritual realm is by faith. Everything. Yes. Even after we already have our language, we still do it daily by faith. And because we do it by faith, God is pleased with us because of that faith that we have, and we're trying to please Him because of it. And I'm going somewhere with this, so bear with me just a minute. So if we're stirring up our gift by faith, by speaking in another language, in the heavenly language, then also when we intercede, we're using our heavenly language, but we're picturing who we're interceding for or the circumstance we're interceding for, and we're praying in the Spirit for and asking God to pray through us for that intercession. Groanings and travailings is when you're done that, and now you want the Holy Spirit to work through your belly. It's actually right below your belly button is where that comes out, and it comes out and comes up and out. And that's your groanings and travailings of the Holy Spirit in you. And you also do that by faith. And it's not a language. It's just, like you said, it's just groanings and travailing for that person that you've been interceding for. It's not a language at that point. It's just groaning. That's what they was talking about Mr. Nash a lot. You know, they'd get worried about him. He'd be out there groaning and travailing and, oh my, and just throwing snot everywhere. And they would ask Mr. Finney, so what's going on in there? He said, oh, it's just Brother Nash. He's praying for this town here, and he's groaning and travailing for them. And that's why he was so successful in the revivals. But it's all by faith. Everything that we do is by faith. And when you do it, God is pleased. And for no other reason than that is why we should do it. Yeah, Benita. And let me make one other. What goes along with that in order to keep the gifts going in your spiritual walk is the fruit of the Spirit also. Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, you know, where it says to pray in the Spirit and always be praying in the Spirit. So if you're not, for those people that aren't, don't believe in being filled with the Spirit like we do, like us, so say all my Baptist friends, you know, they think that they're already filled with the Spirit. How do they interpret that? I mean, like that for them, it's not speaking in tongues, obviously, but they still need to be praying in the Spirit. So is there something else to praying in the Spirit other than speaking in tongues?
No. The Baptists, that's the reason Jesus is fixing to have, God is fixing to have this tribulation, is to wake them up to find out that they, look, you ain't going to make it on you in your flesh. They say that half the Bible has been done away with. That's nonsense. Yeah. They're in trouble. And that's why God is going to come after these apostate churches with a vengeance, with the shaking that's coming. And the people, whether it's pandemics or earthquakes or whatever, wars or whatever it is, he's going to shake them up and he's going to take out some. Matter of fact, we heard a prophecy the other day about that, that the first quarter of 2023 is going to be pretty shook up. He's going to pull down some of these millionaire preachers. As far as them not having the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't you want the Holy Spirit? You know why they don't want it? Because they're scared of it. It's unusual to that. Nobody, they don't read the Bible. They do not read the Bible. They just believe that the preacher standing up there in front of them told them that somebody else taught them, that taught them, that taught them, didn't know the scriptures, or they would have taught them about the Holy Spirit. What? They wanted to take Paul completely out of the New Testament. A lot of them do. You read Paul epistles and you'll find out about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was essential. He talked about it a lot. Matter of fact. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I'm looking at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians there.
Yeah.
It's one of the revelation gifts is discerning of spirits. And that's a small s in here. So the equivalent verse that would actually help you for that discerning of spirits would I believe is in 1 John 4:1, where it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits." Now, I think that's what maybe Benita might be talking about, because we can discern that they have taken this word and dismissed the spirit half of it, because Jesus does say that the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So they're taking this dimension out. But you know, you could have a new Christian still having this discerning of spirits. You know, they're around people and they can discern that, you know. So yeah, some of these though they some people might not speak in tongues yet, but they might have this, and maybe God's gonna use this to get them I'm not sure about this, but don't some of these gifts happen in tandem? You know, like if you get one, you'll get another one, and then you get another one. But I know that the Lord uses these things. Well, for instance, today I went to the bank today, and you know, I pray in tongues a lot on the bus, not loudly, just muffling under my voice there. Sometimes I wonder if people hear me. You know, they might think I'm weird, but that's okay. if the bus drive is my bank is far away, and I just go across town and I'm praying on the bus. And I went to the bank. I went to got some stuff at Walmart because that mall there has a Walmart in it too. And then I came to the bus stop. Here's another bus stop thing for me. And you know how you're out in society, and it's a huge shelter in a mall, and you're sitting there because you don't want to stay out in the wind, you know? And it's pretty quiet in there. And someone starts a conversation with me, and you know, pretty soon I think I turned the conversation to the Lord with this person. But of course, everyone in the shelter can hear what we're talking about. And, you know, people just don't really talk to each other in society anymore. You know, it's a real sad thing. People were good at talking to each other just to have a basic conversation. And it just happened to me in the bus stop, and I mentioned that that there's a Bible, you know, and it's 2,000 years old, and it's just surprising to me how people don't even want to be interested in this word anymore, and yet it's somewhere in their past life from their ancestors, you know, but they just don't want to read it, you know, and it's kind of sad. I said that people don't want to get into this word. So that's as far as I could get. I think that the Lord was preparing me somewhat to actually open up and talk to someone, you know, because you know it's when you're in this city anyway. I've noticed that not anyone would start up a conversation with a stranger. And this person started up the conversation with me, and it wasn't the first time, but it wasn't as good as some other conversations that I've had. But, you know, it's just sad that people don't want to even acknowledge the word of God. So maybe that was the extent I was supposed to do with this other person in earshot of all the other people in the bus shelter. Because I still remember that day when I did it at another bus shelter where I started talking to I think five guys there, and they all happened to be some sort of Christian. And then they wanted to know where I was baptized. So we were taking a book there. That book there where some of the people were escaping communist Russia, and then they had to go through China and out some long way. And what was explained to me there that, we talked a bit about this baptism, and he asked me, one of the guys there in the conversation about the Lord asked me where I was baptized. And I just hesitated for a while, and I said, in water. And then he kind of smiled at me and said, well, what denomination do you belong to? And I hesitated again, and I said, what's a denomination? They were all happy to talk about this, and they're all their happy faces just went sad or normal, and they did an about face and walked away from
me. Really?
Yeah, and they thought I was crazy. At the time, I didn't have any verses in me to defend that, but the Lord showed me some verses afterwards on my defense for that position of non-denomination and answering water, because that's what you're supposed to. There's only one baptism in 4 and 4 of Ephesians. It says there's only one baptism. So, you know, so I find sometimes the Lord will give you something in advance that later on he explains it to you in the word. And then you go, oh, that must have been what happened there, you know, when I went through that. So when you're talking about speaking in tongues and how John G. Lake, you know, spoke so long in tongues, I think that tongues perhaps was preparing me for that encounter with that woman, with that, just that little bit amount that I could talk there, you know. I thought it was for me, you know. I said, oh, you know, I'm in this place now, you know. And you run into some really mean people sometimes, but, you know, there's just something not there that was there, I think, for a person who's my age and in my 60s, and that may have been 40 years ago, you know, where you could actually make a conversation with someone about the Bible and the Lord and not have them turn around and walk away. So it's I think the Lord knows what he's doing. That's why he made them all turn around and go away, because I couldn't defend myself with any scripture or any good saying. So praise God. And so this discerning of spirits here is one of the three for the revelation based gifts. And so when you talked about tongues there, it was self-edification, interceding for others, because self-edification would be interceding for yourself. And then there's the intercessory tongues prayer, and which I've seen us do here on the conference. But I never really thought of the travailing in the spirit, because there has been a few times where I speak in tongues and you travail. And it's interesting. Yeah, so praise God, glory to God, and I do concur that it has to do also with the increase of your fruit of the Spirit too, because, you know, the Lord wants to do these fruit of the Spirit, I think, and sometimes tend and with the gifts of the Spirit, and also with your blessings, you know. If you think about the second blessing, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think there's a lot of mourning here for loved ones. And of course, there is long suffering as your fruit of the Spirit. And these two can happen in tandem by the Holy Spirit, because these blessings come from the Father, and they have to come to you via Holy Spirit. So, so the Lord knows your mourning for loved ones. And I think when he makes it come to pass and come to happen, it's just wonderful. It brings tears to your eyes when it happens, and he's a loving God, and I need him so much more, and because there's so much more available, and it's all in blessings, you know, and it's just so many. I'm gonna have to look them up in my concordance. I just sort of glanced at them. Anyway, so praise God, and thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. There are so many blessings that you have blessed us with. And we know there's so much more to this new life of us, for us, in us, and through us, with you, Father, and of course through your Son, Jesus Christ, because he only spoke what you told him to speak, and he only did what you told him to do. And we thank our example in the Gospels from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the greater example through this new life. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit to live this new life, to assist us in this new life of Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I have another question about tongues and our heavenly praying. Can the devil understand what you're praying when you pray in the Spirit? Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, you know, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, you know, that Satan was a fallen angel. And so I would say he does. Just a thought. I can be corrected.
No, that's right. Absolutely. Just like you said, he was an angel. He can understand. What he doesn't like about tongues is where it comes from. It comes straight from God. And he understands that. He don't want you talking in tongues because it hurts him. It makes him bleed. You know what I mean? And I love to make the devil bleed. Yes, that's a good answer. Yeah, Julie.
I think in agreement with Marilyn said, what you were saying is that, you know, the devil's always putting thoughts in our mind. They know the word and they twist the word, you know, to try to get you to agree with something that isn't true, or to get you to sin in some regard. And, that I've read or I've heard other people say, it's like the devil knows the Bible better than we do. You know, he knows what the word says, and he knows he has, you know, he's a legalist, right? He knows the word. So he knows if he's got rights or not, if he's an authority or not. And so I think, yeah, he knows everything we pray in our minds and in the Spirit. And like you said, he hates us praying in the Spirit because it's the Holy Spirit praying perfect prayers to our Father, you know, and Jesus is always interceding for us when we pray. And we know those prayers are heard and answered because we know God's will is always going to be answered.
You know, that devil might know a lot, but we've got something up on him. We've got God with us.
Amen.
And we yes. By faith, and we are moved by his song.
Amen.
Jesus said God was done. How else can you explain? Like I was reading today, James, and the end of James there, you have the prophet Elijah, who has like passions like we did, but he was controlled by God. We're controlled by God in spurts, I think, and some more than others, but I think there's coming that time where people are going to shine forth much more, and they're going to suddenly get some really interesting revelation and function in the Lord much, much more aggressively. You know, if you're a bit of a zealous person or earnest of the Spirit, which includes the zeal, but you know, sorry about that. That was the dictionary definition. The earnest of the Spirit would be the fruit of the Spirit and all the other spiritual blessings and gifts of the Spirit. So, but there is a zeal to it too. You know? And Jesus had a zeal for the temple. And within our temple, there is access to the Lord's by grace for the same zeal for our spiritual temple. So there's a spiritual temple there in that, and even a spiritual heart and mind and soul and eyesight and hearing and discerning and tasting and speaking and feeling. But you know, we got a rock covering all those senses. And that rock is Christ. So that's the way I deduced it when he had those five kings and he put the rock over the cave. We have a rock. And I think the feelings is the one that's can go haywire. Of course the mouth can too. And but you have the other senses to control your speech and to make you talk properly and to relay things. A total dependence on the Lord. We have to. If you're a slave, can you have anything? You can't have anything when you're a slave. So if you're going to be enslaved to God, free from sin and enslaved to God, then a slave can't have anything. He only has what the master gives. And if a slave, when, for instance, if you examine real slavery, everything's taken away from the person. They got no rights. And anything that they have of value is relinquished. But isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Surrendering? Isn't that the example Jesus showed us in Philippians? That he emptied himself? And so I've been just meditating on quite a few things about this humility and enslavement and what the Lord is actually saying to us here. I've had to collate some of these verses lately about, well, for instance, we're studying now, and it says there in to take his yoke upon him. But before that, it says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You've labored with the things from UBM off-site there. And you've stepped into someone else's labor through this. And this labor is shown to be true in the scriptures to you. So if you're stepping into this labor for that rest, then come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So this rest is, you know, as you know, you've studied Hebrews chapter 4 about it. So you're entering into that rest, and that rest is very close to that enslavement that God wants from you in Romans 6:22. So you're doing this, you know, you're going to him. You always, because you know when we don't go to him, we mess up. So and all these items are in the spirit. So it's really a delight when the Lord can explain some of these things to you. And he can open your eyes and ears to it so that you can understand. Because sometimes, you know, David might be saying something, or Michael, and I go, okay, that's going on the shelf because I don't have it yet. And then the Lord has to explain some of this to you so that you can understand it too. Because that's your interaction with the Father and with the Holy Spirit and with your new life that you have. And it's nice to hear from other people, you know. And that's why we have these conference calls and this fellowship. And praise and glory to God. Praise and glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Lord wants us to pray in the Spirit and us to pray with understanding and not with understanding and with understanding. Sing in the Spirit with understanding also. How do we do that? Pray in the Spirit and then ask the Lord, he said. Just ask to interpret what you've spoken. And it's all by faith. Like I said, it's all by faith. Just believe. Get your tablet ready. When you get through praying in the Spirit, get your tablet ready. And, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Let's see what he says. That's an awesome experience. All right. Anybody else got anything on the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. And he is holy. And the Lord said this being about tongues. He said, if you want tongues, ask and I will give it. And I will give it to you and I won't give you something else. He said, and he listed a couple of things there that he wouldn't give me. But he said, he will give you tongues and not to be worried about getting something that you shouldn't have. A lot of people are worried they'll get the wrong thing. But no, you don't have to worry about that. God said. I suggest people when they want to get that to be able to speak in tongues, if you're getting, you know, just when you're alone. Just ask the Lord to pray through you with tongues, to give you a tongue, full language. He'll do it. Like I said, it's all by faith. It's not something he's going to force on you. Yes, Julie.
I believe. I believe too, Lisa, happened for me is I got a pretty much full tongue language when I first started, but I know that my language has increased since the more you pray in your spirit, in the tongue, your vocabulary increases, you know, because just like a child, you know, you learn to talk and also, careful, I don't want to. You know how it says in a lot of the letters, the epistles that Paul wrote, and even I want to thank Peter too, about grace and peace, or, you know, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge, grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and in Jesus Christ, in the knowledge thing. Is the more you know, the more understanding you have of the word. I think that's a factor too in how you pray in the spirit, that you're praying with more knowledge, the spirit as well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, God's God. You know, He's all knowledge, but it's we're one of the, I don't know, maybe it was James, but where it says, that you grow in the grace and knowledge of God. You know, I pray that for myself. I pray that for the brethren, that we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And the Holy Spirit also is our teacher. So he's the one that teaches us. So the more you pray in the spirit, he's the one that gives more revelation, understanding of the word. So the more you read, eat the word, right? Eat the bread of life, drink life. And which is the word, and the more you spend time doing that, you know, and It increases your knowledge. And you know, there's just a lot of researched knowledge out in the New Testament. Or even like the Proverbs, it talks a lot about the knowledge too, wisdom and all. It's the spirit that gives you all of that. It gives us all of those things. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to tell you something. I am so excited about this. I better not say anything now. I'm sorry. But we talked about it Saturday night. Hey, remember? Casey stuff. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, I'm excited about that. That's awesome. Missy, I'll tell you tomorrow after you cut my hair and let's see how it looks. I'm just kidding, Missy. I told you what I'm going to do about my hair, so you're not involved with it. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you, you already know, Missy. You're not missing anything out on it. Okay, well, I will, Benita. But you already know, all of you already know. Go ahead, Joe.
Just for interest, if I have a question about that, who can I speak to on that subject?
On what?
On what you're talking about. If you're talking about the same thing, yeah. Who can I talk to if I have a question or something? I'm not sure.
Who can you talk? You can talk to us.
Yeah, but who, you or Casey or Mike or technical person?
You're talking about what we talked about Saturday night?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess you'd have
to. I'm going to ask Julie. Julie will know.
There you go. Send us a chat direct if there's a question.
Okay.
Yeah, Barry.
There was an email that went out, I think. Was it this morning?
New Year's Day.
Maybe
yesterday.
It
was New Year's Day. Sunday morning.
And it had the web address and everything. It's, you know, so I'm not sure I understand why it's kind of being treated like a secret.
Well, I don't either.
It was, if you're on the email list, if you get the email from
they gave the link. Okay. What they're going to do is they're going to change one into the other one. Just take one down and put the other one up. And I think that's what they want to do before they let the whole world know. I don't know. That's what I was told. Not that it's a secret. I think everybody knows it. You know, we've been working on it. But Casey has. So I don't know. I don't even know when he's. I figured in a few days they'd have it up there, but I don't know. I'm not in the loop. You're probably more in the loop than I am. Yeah, Missy. But don't you say nothing that you're not supposed to, Missy.
It's not a secret, like we're saying. Like Barry said,
I can mute you.
An email was sent out announcing. Did he mute me? No. An email was already sent out about it. It was on the updates email. You know, you get the updates for the Bible studies. Well, it was.
Okay.
So anybody that's on the email list got it, I'm sure.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
I don't get the email, I guess. Y'all get it, and I don't. There's something wrong with that number.
Well, maybe.
I'm going to have to go to the boss.
You have to sign up for it, Michael.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well,
it's
I don't get
it. It's not an automatic.
Okay. I was going to go down and, you know.
You don't get a twice a week email saying the updates for the new Bible studies?
Uh-uh.
You never signed up for it. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, that's why you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know everything there is to know about everything but that.
Missy, I don't get it twice a week. Are we supposed to get it?
See what you started, Missy.
Oh, geez. It's supposed to be twice a week. Usually it is.
Once a month or once every other month. Yeah. I don't get it ever.
Well, you get the email update list whenever time they send it out, which is not necessarily monthly. It's whenever they have an update.
That's what I understood. It's not something that's automatic.
Right. But you have to sign up for the email list. If you want to be on the email list, you have to sign up for your email.
Yeah. I don't think it's something that comes out all the time. The only what Missy's, I think she's talking about is the Bible study notification.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's not the email list. That's something else.
I'm not looking at that.
No, no, baby. Okay.
I don't either.
I'm not privy to all of that stuff. I got enough to do. All right. Anybody else got a question or an answer on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The gifts are all tied with the tongues. Couple things like it's a gateway. It's the gateway to all the things spiritual. It's tongues. The more you do it, the more you build up your spiritual man. And I'll tell you something else. The more you do it, the more you'll be an overcomer. Because it takes your mind off the flesh and puts it in the spirit. I found that out myself. You know, when those things that you need to be casting down come up, just start praying in the spirit. It works. Works good too, quick. It goes away. Yeah, Julie.
Do you ever find when you're in, this is what I've experienced just recently, it seems to me, and I know it's a test. But I have found that sometimes lately when I am in going through something, some kind of, you know, oppression or the enemy's attacking me, and I start praying in tongues, that the oppression intensifies greatly.
Really?
Huh. Does anyone else have an answer? Am I the only one? They want to discourage me from doing it, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
it intensifies.
Does it stay, though?
For a time.
And that may be what they're trying to do, is discourage you. You know what a disciple is? One that has, and I'm going to just throw it out there as a word game. It's discipline, and we discipline ourselves to go ahead and speak in tongues whether we want to or not. And at some point in time, if you've done it very long, you'll understand that you get it. You come to a place where you don't want to stop. I've done that many times. You want to just keep going. And I think we're going to see I tell you what, I just encourage everybody to speak in tongues a lot, because that's going to help you in the days to come. Because, and then ask the Lord to interpret them for you. And watch, you'll get revelations from him when you do that. Revelation from the Word, or whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever you're praying for. Yeah. There was something I had come across. I wanted to relate to y'all. Listen to this. This is what I found from Lake. It was written by Lake in 1910, and he was still in South Africa. And it was while he was still developing his understanding of healing. He developed quite a bit, but he was still understanding a few things, still had some understanding. He said, divine healing for the physical body is a ministry of the Spirit of God in healing virtue. The Spirit of God is governed by divine spiritual law. The healing ministry of Jesus was an impartation of the Holy Spirit through him to the sick. He laid his hands upon the sick, and the Holy Spirit flowed from him, entered into them, and they were healed. Did you hear what I said? It wasn't Jesus. He laid his hands upon the sick, and the Holy Spirit flowed from him, entered into them, and they were healed. Jesus instructed believing Christians everywhere forever to practice this law of healing, not in their own strength, but relying on Christ to supply to their souls the needed measure of the Holy Spirit for the healing of the sick one. Paul not only laid his hands on the sick and they were healed, but they brought to him handkerchiefs and aprons that they might touch his body. And we ask, what for? Well, the answer is plain, that having touched his Holy Spirit-filled person, the same law operated. The handkerchiefs or aprons became filled with the Spirit of God, and they were then carried to the sick and laid upon them, and the Spirit of God flowed into the sick and healed them. Demons likewise were cast out through this method. The Holy Spirit is a tangible substance. He is the nature of God. He is the quality of God's being. He is the effervescence of God's mind. That's the brilliance of God's mind. He is the life quality of his nature. It is God taking possession of the body, the soul, and the spirit of man that he is. That he is. Greater is he that is in you. So it's Christ, it's God in you, that flows from you to the person that needs the healing. I found that out early on when I was out on the streets, that the power of God flowed through from me to them and got them healed. And it's all by faith. And it's all by, and at that time I was praying in tongues a lot, and I was also fasting a lot. And the power of God works to that respect, to the respect that I prayed in tongues. And I thought it was fasting too. And I'm sure that's part of it, but we saw miracle after miracle happen when we did that. And that's what I'm saying. It all hinges on what you want. How much of God do you want? At times, some of you have probably prayed for somebody and felt the electricity go through you. And I tell you, that's God. You have God in you, like Andrew was talking. I think Ben or Andrew, one of y'all, talking, it's God in you. You've been created. You're a new creation. And as such, you're a new creation with the power of God, the authority of God in you. And what you do with it, it's whether you bear the fruit of Christ or not. And like Andrew has said time and time again about the fruit, what the fruit does is allows you to not get squirrely with the power of God. There's a lot of men out there that has the power of God. They don't last long. They get squirrely. They got all kinds of different religions, believe a lot of things, but the right thing. And they lead a lot of people to astray. When you got the fruit of the Spirit with gifts that make you a disciple, walking that holy life with joy. I love the joy part. Missy, I tell you, I'll have everybody. I want everybody to smile before we leave in the morning's meeting. And the reason I do that, I want the day to start out right. Not sitting around like this all day. I told one of them the other day, I said, hey, Don, it ain't going to break your face to smile, boy. Get up there and smile. But I do it to keep people happy. Start out the day right. And I want to see people succeed in Christ. And that's why I try to encourage the things of the spirit realm to be evident in our lives. How many of you want to see Jesus? He's come up. Welcome, my good and grateful son. I do. I do too, Melvin. I ain't never known. That's going to be some of them with the power of God that he's going to say. He's going to say this. I know you did all of those works, but I never knew you. Because he didn't produce any fruit with it. And that was the love, the joy, the peace, long suffering, goodness, kindness, and the rest of them. Praise God. Anybody got anything you want to add? Or question? That's good. Yeah, Julie.
Before we go tonight, can you pray for us?
Yeah.
For what we've been talking about.
Yeah, I sure will. I was going to do that anyway. I thank you for bringing it up. Now let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much for your spirit. I thank you so much for yourself, Lord, that you allowed us to be a part of you. You created us. You recreated us into the temple that you want, Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, with all the gifts working and the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit working also. And we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, if there be any others out here that doesn't speak in tongues, I'm asking you to grant that to every one of them that wants it. Right now, there's some listening on, that will be listening tomorrow or tonight to this message. And I ask, Father, if they're not filled with the Holy Spirit with tongues, that you grant them that favor in Jesus' name. That gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, that is an awesome gift. And we praise you, Father, for doing it. And I know it's all by faith, and they will accept it, receive it by faith, and be speaking in tongues with a full language. And I thank you for it, Father. And I know that it's not anything that we can do, but we have to open up our mouth and start speaking from the part of the Spirit, and that's the bottom of our belly, and it comes all the way up and out, Lord. And I praise you, and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to study the Word of God, to study Jesus, and to walk like Jesus, and to act like Jesus, and to talk like Jesus. Because you said in your Word that you look in the mirror and see Jesus every day. And to remind ourselves that that's who we are. We're Jesus. We got Jesus living in us. We also have the Holy Spirit that gives us that overcoming power, that healing power, that deliverance power, and that power to build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you so much for the Holy Ghost. He's been a lifesaver for many of us, and we praise you for that. Lord, I ask and I pray also that when we pray in the Spirit, you said to ask if we wanted to interpret it. And I'm asking for all of those out there, Lord, that want to interpret what they prayed in the Spirit, that it would be so, that they would sit down with a notebook in their lap and a pencil or a pen and start writing what you have for them, Lord. And if they just start writing, it'll come to them. And I thank you for it, Father. I glorify you and I praise you, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you encourage everybody that wants that with a new language in Jesus' name, a full language in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for that, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that the encouragement, the happiness, the feelings, and I know we don't live by feelings. We live by what the Word of God says. But Lord, it is so awesome sometimes to feel your presence when we pray in the Spirit. And I thank you for doing that for all my brothers and sisters out there. Because we need encouragement every now and then. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Lord, give us all a good night's sleep or a good day of work, whatever it is, or a good day of being with you. Thank you, Lord, Father, for leading us, guiding us, setting a watch before I left to speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for helping us out in this respect. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters out there, Lord, that you love them. And not one of them are going to fail coming into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for doing all the miracles for us, the miracles of the pump, the miracles of the healings, the miracles of the deliverances, the miracles of everything that we believe for that's out of the box. And I know, Lord, you're an out-of-a-box kind of a God because you want us to believe you for everything. There's nothing too big that you can't handle, Lord. We're finding that out every day. We thank you for healing David's car. I thank you, Father, that all new brakes are already on that car right now in Jesus' name. And I praise you for it because I know it's so. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing all the miracles that the believers here are believing for. And that'll be that it's already manifested when we speak it in Jesus' name, because we declare and decree it in your name. That's the anointed name. The name that's above all names that the enemy has to bow to. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we thank you, Father, for giving everybody a good night's sleep tonight that is going to sleep in Jesus' name. Or if they're just now getting up, to have a great and wonderful day with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Oh, yeah. And dreams and visions from you, Father, distributed to all who wants them, that it will be something that they would write down and send in. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all.